This is Fresh Air. Yesterday, Ronald Reagan said he would campaign in several states for George Bush. My guest, Lynn Nofziger, was one of Reagan's closest aides. We've invited him to share his perspective of the campaign and the Republican Party. Nofziger worked with Reagan on and off since Reagan's first run for governor of California in 1966. He was Reagan's press secretary for that first campaign and for his first presidential campaign. Then Nofziger became Reagan's political advisor. During Nofziger's political career, he also worked for the Nixon administration and the Republican National Committee. When he left the Reagan administration, he became a lobbyist, but he was convicted on ethics violations. The conviction was reversed on appeal, but it pretty well destroyed his business. Now he has a new memoir called Nofziger. He's not George Bush's biggest fan, but I wanted to know if Nofziger still wants Bush to win.
Oh, yes, I do. I'm going to vote for him. I'm going to urge all my nutty friends who want to vote for Ross Perot to vote for him. And I think that if you have to make a choice, that I really don't have another choice.
Are you encouraged by the tightening polls, and what do you make of them?
Yeah, I'm encouraged by them. I think one of the reasons is that George Bush finally began to campaign. He hadn't been working very hard at this. He seemed kind of dull. It was almost as if he didn't care. Now it sounds like he cares. That's number one. Number two, I think the fact that maybe some of the attacks on Bill Clinton about his draft record and so forth are finally beginning to get through to people. After all, it's after the World Series. And thirdly, I think that Ross Perot himself hurt himself with his attacks on the Republicans and claiming he got out of the race because they were going to disrupt his daughter's wedding. What nonsense.
I saw you on Nightline, I guess it was about a couple of weeks ago, when George Bush wasn't doing this well in the polls, and you were talking about how the Republicans were suffering in part because they had turned away the Reaganites when the Reagan people offered their help to the Bush campaign.
True.
Are you someone who was turned away?
Oh, yeah, but I'm one of many. I wasn't turned away, I was just ignored. You know, I know most of these people. I told them time after time, tell me what you want me to do. They didn't want me to do anything. They just didn't respond. But that's just not me. It's people like Ed Rollins. It's people like Paul Laxalt. It's people like Margaret Heckler. A lot of people who could have been helpful, and all they want to do is see a Republican reelected.
Why do you think you were turned away?
Because I worked for Ronald Reagan, because Bush people, for reasons that I have never been able to figure out, kind of don't like us Reagan people. Maybe we're too conservative for them, or maybe it's just because we beat him in 1980.
At the Republican convention, there was a lot of talk about family values, and
yeah.
Buchanan did his culture war thing. Mm. Then the Republicans seemed to drop that. It didn't seem to play very well. Would you have encouraged them to pursue the family values
war
line?
I think I'd have done it in a little different way. One of the things that disappointed me was that apparently they backed poor old Dan Quayle off on the Murphy-Brown thing. I thought he was on the right track, but then when he starts sending this make-believe baby toys and sits with single mothers to watch the first episode, it just looked to me like they'd been scared off. And I think there are many things about family values that go way beyond whether or not you've got a single mother. But I look at this country, and I'm concerned about juvenile delinquency, about crime, about kids using guns, and about pornography that is now legitimate and sells for $50 a copy in the good bookstores. I am concerned about the growth of illegitimate children, the numbers of illegitimate children. I'm concerned about using abortion as a method of birth control. So there are a lot of things out there that relate to my way of thinking to family values that I think a lot of Americans are concerned about, and I don't think we've touched on them.
You know, when I was watching you on Nightline, I was thinking about how unusual it was to see Republicans fighting among themselves or quarreling with the party on TV. That's usually the Democrats' job.
We sound just like Democrats, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. So did you have reservations about doing that?
Oh, I haven't enjoyed particularly attacking George Bush.
Did you say you have or have not?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay.
Or pointing out what's going wrong. But I think in many ways it's been important that we talk about these things, because how are you going to right the problems R-I-G-H-T, if George Bush and his people refuse to admit their problems. And these are things you have to address.
Last night, Ronald Reagan announced that he would campaign in several states for George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Did he ask you for your advice about that?
Oh, no, but if he had, I'd have said, go out and give him hell, Ronnie. Campaign hard. There's a lot at stake here.
What kind of shape is he in now? He's 81 years old.
Well, he's in good health from everything that I've been able to see and talking to people who see him much more frequently than I do. He's always exercised regularly. He loves to go up to that ranch and cut brush and ride his horses and stuff. So he's in good shape. One of the things with Ronald Reagan is he needs to be active mentally, too. If he isn't, if there's not something out there to challenge him, he kind of relaxes and doesn't do very well. And so I hope if he gets out in his campaign, it'll kind of give him a little pizzazz and we'll see him out there being really effective.
In your book, you write that George Bush has dashed whatever hopes many of us had that he would carry on the Reagan legacy. What did you want him to do that he hasn't done?
Well, I would have liked to have seen him not sign that tax bill. I would have liked to have seen him just generally more conservative. I was a little disappointed in him signing that civil rights bill, which is still pretty much a quotas bill, whether you want to admit it or not, and other things. I think the thing that has disappointed a lot of us is that George Bush never talked about Ronald Reagan up until very recently, never gave him much credit for any of the things that went right with this country, such as the demise of the Soviet Empire, which I think history is going to largely credit to Ronald Reagan. He talked, 4 years ago about a kinder, gentler nation, as if Ronald Reagan had somehow or other given us a nation that was neither kind nor gentle. This sort of thing, just as if he were trying to divorce himself from Reagan rather than saying, hey, Reagan is a guy who gave us 8 years of prosperity. Reagan is a man who stood up to the evil empire, confronted it, and forced it to back down and eventually forced it out of existence. Just the feeling that George Bush was kind of glad to get rid of Ronald Reagan.
What kind of conflict do you perceive going on now within the Republican Party between the conservatives and the moderates?
Oh, we'll see a lot of conflict come beginning November 4th. Whether George Bush wins or loses, because there's going to be a new fight for the soul of the Republican Party. And you're going to see people on one side like Jack Kemp and Bill Bennett and Phil Graham and Pete DuPont and one or two others. And you're going to see liberals out there like Pete Wilson, the governor of California, George Voinovich, the governor of Ohio. Then there's going to be a real hassle during the next couple of years, I think, to see which way this party goes.
My guest is Lynn Nofziger. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Lynn Nofziger, and he was involved with Reagan from 1966 to 1985, serving as press secretary and political advisor. In your memoir, Nofziger, you write that, you used to try to keep Reagan from the press.
Yeah.
How would you feel if he had to go on Larry King now and do town meetings?
Oh, I would like that very much. Ronald Reagan is very good at those sorts of things if he does them frequently. And one of the things we did when he first became governor of California is have a press conference every week. And that way he was on top of the issues, and he was kind of on top of his game. What happened to him when he became president is the people around him didn't have any confidence in him, so they kept him away from the press. Now, we're talking about a campaign, which is a different matter from sitting in the Oval Office or the governor's office. In a campaign, you try to keep the campaign focused on certain things. And if you let your candidate, any candidate, answer all the silly questions that the press asks, then they change the focus of the campaign for you. And that's hurtful to the campaign, and that's why we tried to keep him away.
You didn't try to keep him away because of the gaffes that he would make? That
oh, no.
Reason?
He, you know, that's vastly overrated. Ronald Reagan handled press very well, and most of the times that he was accused of making a gaffe, it wasn't all that bad.
One of his more famous gaffes is when he said in response to the campaign to save the California redwoods, "A tree is a tree. How many more do you have to look at?"
Uh-huh.
And you write in your book that you, or I think it was your secretary, actually had the tape of him saying that, even though he later denied that he said it, but you never reminded him that he, in fact, really said it. Had he talked himself out of thinking that he'd said it?
Ronald Reagan has a wonderful quality of believing what he says. I would venture to say that Ronald Reagan doesn't think he's ever told a lie in his life, maybe one, because when he tells you something, he believes it. And that's a wonderful quality. Jesse Unruh, the old Democrat boss in California, told me once, he said, the difference between Reagan and the average politician is that when Reagan says something, he believes it so that the people listening to him believe it. But he said, when I tell a lie, I know I'm lying, and therefore so does everybody else.
You're right. Reagan was a macro manager and sometimes no manager at all. Ronald Reagan is no genius. In a way, I think you make him sound like a good figurehead for the people who were running the campaign or who were initiating the politics or putting forward the philosophy.
If I did that, if that's how you read that, I did him an injustice. The philosophy, I assure you, was his. The tough decisions were his. The ability to set the tone for the government, whether it was California or the United States, was his. But he was not a detail man. Like Jimmy Carter, he didn't worry about who played tennis on the White House tennis courts. He didn't worry about who his staff picked as their secretaries. He thought that people who had been given jobs to do were qualified to do them, and he let them do them. And he didn't interfere, and sometimes once or twice it got him in trouble, such as Iran-Contra. But most of the time it served him very well.
One of George Bush's main men is James Baker, who is now running the campaign and would run the economic program if Bush is reelected. Now, I believe that Baker forced you out as political director.
No, that's not true. When I came into the White House as assistant to the president for political affairs, I told them I would give them a year. I had initially had no intention of going into the White House. The fun of politics for me is the campaign and not government. So I gave them a year and 2 days, and I left. And there was no forcing out. I could have stayed indefinitely. No way Jim Baker could have forced me out of that White House.
You write about Baker in your book. Jim Baker's best buddy is himself, James A. Baker III. The president runs a poor second, as he may eventually discover.
Yeah, I think that's a very accurate statement. I think that if Jim Baker really cared about his so-called best friend, George Bush, he'd have got into this campaign several months earlier. And once he got into it, he'd have not only taken charge, but he'd have stood up and been counted. And one of the interesting things about this campaign since Jim Baker got into it is it's hard to find hide nor hair of him. He's a friend of mine who's a bureau chief for a big newspaper told me a couple of weeks ago, he said, Jim Baker used to return my phone calls right away. He said, now even Margaret Tutwiler doesn't. And I think he's ducked because he's been afraid that George Bush would lose, and he doesn't want to take the blame.
You brought a lot of people to Washington to work for the Reagan administration, and I'm sure many of those people are still there.
Yeah.
The word a couple of weeks ago was that a lot of Republicans were writing their resumes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think a lot of those Republicans are tearing up those resumes now, thinking it won't be necessary?
Well, they're foolish if they are. Yeah, I mean, once you got them written, keep them and keep looking. Because, you know, I'll tell you, I think people can stay in government too long. I think the people who have been here in the administration since the Reagan years ought to get out and go home and get back in the private sector. Nobody promised them a lifetime job here. They came here because they believed in something, and too many of them are staying here now because it's an easy job, and I don't think that's any reason to stay here.
Lynn Nofziger has written a new memoir called Nofziger. This is Fresh Air.